incredible honor. What an incredible zechus to be part of an evening like this. To be in a room like this, to be part of a group like this. Ashreinu matov chalkenu, how fortunate we are as a community, as an organization, as a people, to be able to come together in such a beautiful and special way, in such an absolutely awesome way, for such an incredibly important and awesome cause. The power in this room right now, the nature of this gathering is nothing short of historic. The potential is almost limitless. If we can be successful in harnessing the ambitions, the good intentions, the pride and passion for our Jewish lifestyle, that by evidence of our being here tonight, we all share, the future of the Jewish people is in excellent, excellent hands. And as I mentioned, we are fortunate and privileged to be a part of it. By way of introduction to tonight, I want to speak to such an incredibly powerful group about the power of groups. There is a play-along at home game that we often do with halachic questions and scenarios. You take the unusual circumstance, you try to apply it to a halacha that we're familiar with. There are books, many books, wonderful books, svarim, that are sold that contain nothing but these questions that are designed to enliven a Shabbos table, to create conversation and debate amongst anybody who reads them. Anyway, a simple halachic question and encourage you to play along at home. A person, for whatever reason, good or bad, misses a minyan during Chodesh Elul. He misses Shacharis, maybe he's on a plane traveling, maybe he's sick in bed in a dorm room or at home. And because of that, he misses the minhag of Tkiyat Shofar during the month of Elul. So does such a person, we know that there's an entire almost Jewish chesed industry of blowing shofar for people on Rosh Hashanah who did not make it to shul. What about during Chodesh Elul? Should people be walking around the YU dorm? Should people be walking around neighborhoods, Jewish neighborhoods across America, blowing shofar for all of the people who by chance were not able to make it to Minyan that morning? Is that what a person is supposed to do? Should we blow shofar, maybe borrow a page from our companion organization in Chabad and blow shofar in the subway stations of Manhattan, in the office buildings, and just try to let anybody who missed the mitzvah in the morning, or the minhag in the morning, I should say, let them participate if they so desire. If you would have asked me this question even a short while ago, I would have told you it's not a question that's really worthy of our time, of our consideration. It's not really a mitzvah. If you want to blow the show at the subway station or at your friend's chuppah or anywhere else that you're so inclined, knock yourself out and enjoy. One doesn't need to waste his precious halachic debating time on an issue that doesn't seem to have much of a practical difference in the world of obligation, in the world of halacha. But the poskim, in fact, do deal with this issue. And there's an incredibly fascinating, enlightening tshuva written by Rav Waldenberg in the Tzitz Eliezer, where he makes a couple of, I think, astounding observations. First, he points out that it must be that the mitzvah, the minhag of tkiyah shofar in Elul, is connected specifically to a tzibur, to a congregation. Why else, he says, would all of the psukim that make a remez or a flat-out reference to tkiyah shofar always involve the multitudes? He points to the fact that the original shofar that was blown at Har Sinai, ha'aviru shofar b'machaneh, didn't have to be in a machaneh, it could have been just haviru shofar, but it was a shofar specifically in the machaneh. The Navi asks rhetorically, im yitaka shofar ba'ir, va'am lo yecharadu, it is a shofar that is in, b'shus, the Rosh Hashiva, a shofar that is in the ear, a shofar that is relevant, that is being heard by the Am, Everybody is hearing the sound. Shofar. Once again, the Tzitz Eliezer says it can't be a coincidence. And therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer says it's fine. If you'd like to blow a shofar, you can. But the minhag of blowing shofar during the month of Elul is specifically reserved for shul. It's specifically reserved for a minyan. And he writes the following words that are open, I believe, for our interpretation. And I'm going to ask that we all dare to imagine what the implications of these words are, what the application of these words can be. The Tzitz Eliezer writes, Shehez orus mikol ha-shofar mikablim rak kishishomim kol ha-shofar b'tzibur. The shofar affects us, but only in the context of a tzibur. Now that doesn't seem on the surface to make a whole lot of sense. The shofar as an alarm clock should apply equally well. We use alarm clocks to wake us up from our sleep. Very often we are the only person in the room where that happens. The avoda of tshuva is a very personal avoda that we engage in the quiet loneliness of our own tfilos and our own cheshbon and nefesh. Here you have the Tzitz Eliezer arguing that the alarm clock of the shofar in Chodesh Elul operates only when there is a tzibur. His oris kazos lo ba toke biyachid beino levein atzmo. There has to be a reason for this statement, but the Tzitz Eliezer, without much more by way of explanation, says that the great inspiration that comes from the shofar only happens in the context of a tzibur. Perhaps the Tzitz Eliezer is referring to the fact that we all derive inspiration from each other. And a community that cares about each other, that are willing to be mechazek each other, that are willing to come out on an incredible evening like this, just to make the statement that they care about the Jewish people, that they care about Acheinu Beis Yisrael, is as good a hisoris, as good as inspiration, as any of us could hope for in the month of Elul. But perhaps, if we dare to imagine, perhaps the Tzitz Eliezer is saying something that goes even beyond this. Perhaps the very inspiration that we get from all acts of Kedusha emanates not only from the acts themselves, but from the tzibur that receives them. Perhaps in Chodesh Elul, many people, myself included, when the shofar is sounded, will close their eyes. Maybe that's a mistake. Maybe we should keep our eyes open and look at how the tzibur is responding to the kol shofar. Look how Acheinu Beis Yisrael, look at how our community is responding to the stimuli, to the motivations that we are receiving. Look at how the entire Knesset Yisrael is responding to the things that inspire us and draw inspiration from that. As B'nai and B'nos Torah, as people who are committed to these values, we must be ever cognizant of the tzibur around us. We must be ever cognizant of how our Torah and our mitzvos, how our commitments are playing out on the faces of the people around the world that we have the opportunity to inspire through our actions and through our words, and most importantly, through our love and through our relationships. And there is a special level of avodas Hashem. There is a special level of connection to God that emerges from the relationship with God's children. That emerges not just hearing our own personal, remember the words of the Tzitz Eliezer. This particular inspiration does not come from the sound of a shofar when a person is alone. It comes from the sound of shofar when we are in a tzibur. When we recognize the relevance, the meaning, the beauty, the value of the shofar to all of Knesset Yisrael. When we recognize that our commitment to mitzvos is wrapped up in theirs. That the beauty and the passion that we express and wear on our sleeve can be perceived by a youngster who does not have the opportunities that we have, who is exposed to it through our care and our love. That can be the greatest inspiration of all. It's not an act of solitary behaviors. It's not an act of an individual, but it's the way we take our place in this great tzibur. As I began and I started, Ashreinu Matov Chelkenu. How fortunate we are to be a people. How fortunate we are to be part of an organization that can put together and bring together an incredible group like this. The potential and the power is palpable. You can feel it in the air and in the room. The excitement to not just sound the shofar, not just to inspire, but to be inspired by watching the effect of that shofar on the faces of all of those who, whether they know it or not, are craving its message, are craving its sound. And to recognize that certain levels of inspiration are achieved only when the entire tzibur is unified, only in the masses, and only when we come together for such special, special, noble reasons. It is a great, great honor for me to be able to call up and introduce the one who directs all of our efforts in NCSY, Rabbi Micha Greenland, the international director of NCSY. Rabbi Greenland sets the tone for the entire organization and inspires us for evenings like this and the great work that emerges from it. Please give Rabbi Greenland your attention.
There are some seats in the front rows. If you want, if you're standing in the back and want a seat, there are about 15 seats in the front row on this section and about 15 seats in the front row on this section. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, my benefits, and Yasher Koach for your incredible Divrei Torah. It is an awesome privilege to be standing here tonight with the opportunity to speak to this incredibly august crowd just for a moment before I introduce the Rosh Yeshiva Rav Schechter. Every single morning and evening for this entire month, we say the words in L'David Hashem Ori. It seems somewhat paradoxical. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai. We pray, we yearn to live, to dwell permanently in the house of Hashem all the days of our lives. Then we continue ulevaker beheichalo and to visit in His tabernacle, in His sanctuary. That's a contradiction. What does that mean? To live and to visit. There are many explanations, but I believe that what we try to accomplish in NCSY is embodied in one explanation, which is Shifti Beveis Hashem. We want to be steeped in Torah, want to be steeped in influencing Jews. We want to be steeped in making a difference, living a life of Avod Hashem with all of our hearts and all of our souls, but we want to do it with the spirit of ulevaker beheichalo. We want it to be fresh, like every time you visit a new place. We want it to be new every single day. We want to be steeped in a community of Torah and a positive influence for the Jewish community, but we want to do it with freshness all the time. We live that way, then the people we're trying to influence will also live that way. When it comes to being steeped in Torah all the days of our lives, there's no greater example than Rav Schechter Shlita. Rav Schechter, who spends a period, 2 weeks every summer on NCSY Summer Kollel, who I had the privilege of learning in Rav Schechter's Kollel for 3 years during my years in Kollel in Yeshiva University, who is a Torah leader for NCSY, for all of us, and for the entirety of the Jewish people. It's a special kavod to have the opportunity tonight to hear words of Torah, words of inspiration, words of chizuk to all of us, NCSY leaders, NCSY advisors, and potential NCSY advisors. Without further ado, it's a privilege to call on Rosh Yeshiva Rav Herschel Schechter.
Thank you very much. We have the mitzvah in the Torah, Hocheach Tocheach Es Hamisecho. If you see that someone is doing something improper, you have to straighten him out. It's not so easy. You have to be able to speak the same language as the person. You have to be on the same wavelength. That's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. The Minchas Chinuch and others point out that there's another mitzvah in the Torah, Hashavas Aveda. So the Gemara has a din. If the person dropped a nickel, you have a mitzvah to try to give him back his Shavu Pruta's worth, whatever the Aveda is. So the Gemara makes a Kal V'chomer. If the Gemara says, what if a person is lost? He's driving his car and he's lost. Or he's walking in the forest and he's lost. So it's Hashavas Gufo. He himself is lost. So the Gemara learns that out of Kal V'chomer from Hashavas Mamono. If you have to give him back a nickel, he certainly have to give himself back to himself. The fellow is lost. So the Minchas Chinuch and many other commentaries point out that one who is a balaver, b'shegik, he doesn't know what he's doing, or even b'mezid, he's simply lost. He's a toya, b'chayim. So, returning the person back to the Derech HaTorah will certainly be a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveid. It's a big mitzvah. Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a poem where he lists off all of the Taryag mitzvahs. The Gaonim and the Rishonim used to recite piyutim on Shavuos in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, before Kriyas HaTorah, they would rattle off all of the 613 mitzvahs. Rav Sadia Gaon wrote such a poem, and then there was a balabas in Europe who wrote a whole commentary to explain which are the 600, it's in poem form. So there was a balabas, Rabbi Yeruchim Perla, who published three fat svarim, the size of Baba Basras, to explain the four pages of the poem, what are the 613 mitzvahs. He has fascinating comments there. The Sadia Gaon counts as one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, the brachas eklalas at hagrizim and harevel. So it doesn't make any sense. Brachas eklalas was once in the history of the world. That's not a mitzvah that's binding throughout all the generations. You have to keep Shabbos, you have to keep kashrus, you have to listen to observe Rosh Hashanah, blow shofar, shake a lulav. That's a mitzvah. But something that happened once in the history of the world, how is that counted as a mitzvah? So Rabbi Yeruchim Perla explains in his commentary that the Gemara tells us that the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh began after the Brachas HaKlalos of the Hagrizim HaArevel. What Rav Sadia Gaon means to say is that there's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. It's a mitzvah of Orvos, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. What exactly does it mean, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh? So very often people think of it only in a negative sense. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk in the Teichach in B'chu Kaisai, because lo ish b'yochiv, ish b'avon ochiv. That if someone else does an Aveira and I have the ability to stop him, explain to him why he shouldn't do it, and I don't get involved, so I'll be punished. I'm nitfas b'avoin chaveiroi. I'll be punished because of his Aveiras if it's yesh b'yodi limchas v'eini moichem. So that's one level of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. We will be held responsible if the others are doing Aveiras, we don't do something about it, we will be held responsible. But the Gemara has much more than that. The din is that the Baal Takeah who blows shofar for everybody else, is Moitzi, the whole tzibur, using the principle of Shamer Kohenah. Like if one person says Kiddush, one person says Havdalah, and everybody pays attention, so we apply the rule of Shamer Kohenah. So the same is true regarding Tkiah Shofar. If the Baal Tekeah blows Shofar, everybody's Yoitzi. What if the father's away on business, on a weekend, on Shabbos, and the mother is home with her little children, and traditionally the Jewish mothers didn't want to say Kiddush. Now we live in a different world. They alternate every other Shabbos. The husband says Kiddush, every Shabbos. The wife says Kiddush. But normally, Jewish women, you say your own Kiddush means that you're an almana. So women dreaded saying their own Kiddush, having to say their own Kiddush. So let's say the husband is away and the mother wants a young boy to recite the Kiddush, but the young boy is not bar mitzvah. So it says in the Gemara, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the women are obligated men haTorah to hear Kiddush or to recite Kiddush. The child before bar mitzvah is only obligated midrabbanim mitam chinuch to recite kiddush. So the child is not mechuyah b'dover. Child cannot recite kiddush to be moitzi the mother, unless they have a child who's already bar mitzvah. So then the child is just as mechuyah as the father. But if the boy is before bar mitzvah, he cannot recite. Let him say his own kiddush, but he can't recite kiddush for the mother. Mother has to recite her own kiddush. So we have a Mishnah that the one who's the Baal Tekeya has to be one who's Mechuyah B'davar. If the best Baal Tekeya in town happens to be a woman, and the women are not obligated to hear Shofar, if they want to, that's commendable. The tradition always was, the practice always was, the women always strained themselves to go to shul, even with the little children, they always went out of their way to make sure that they hear Tekeya Shofar, that they make sure that they shake a lulav, even though they're not obligated to shake a lulav on Sukkot. But strictly speaking, women, if they don't want to, they're not obligated to hear the Kiyosho. So a woman cannot be the Baal Tekeya, even if she's the best one in shul. Or a child before Bar Mitzvah cannot be the Baal Tekeya, the blow shofar to be moitzed at Tzibur, because the Mishnah has the rule, whenever you're applying the principle of Shomea Koine, by my listening to your Kiddush, your Havdalah, your Tekeya Shofar, I can fulfill the Mitzvah, you have to be a Mechuyah B'Dover. The other fellow who's being moitzed me has to be a Mechuyah B'Dover. So the Gemara raises an issue, the Gemara raises a question. What about the Baal Tekeya who blew shofar in shul, and then he goes home and he eats and he benches, then he goes to the hospital to blow shofar for the people in the hospital. He blows to the old age, he goes to the old age home. Or he comes home and he blows shofar for his wife, or he blows for his grandmother, or whatever. So he's not Mechuyah B'Dover anymore. He already fulfilled the mitzvah of Tekeya shofar. So the Gemara raises the question, can he blow shofar to be made to the other people? He's no longer Mechuyah, and the other people are still Mechuyah. So the Gemara says, yes. The rule is Yotza Motzi. Even though he was already out to the mitzvah, he can still blow shofar for somebody else. So Rashi, in his commentary, and all the Rishonim quote Rashi, they all give the same shot. Because of the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezel, as long as there's one Jew left in the world, in New Zealand, who didn't hear, we have a few students from New Zealand. It's not so far. Yeah, I always pick New Zealand as the furthest thing from your mind. If there's one Jew left in New Zealand who wasn't Yotze Tekeya Shofar yet, means that I wasn't fully Yotze my mitzvah. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezel is not only with respect to Averis, if the other fellow's doing an Averis, I'll be punished if I could be Moichet. It's with respect to mitzvahs. As long as there's still one Jew who wasn't yotze tekeya shofar, I wasn't fully yotze. I'm mechuyev to blow shofar again. And when I blow shofar for him, I can't put earplugs. Put earplugs, it makes to hear it anyway. But you can't put earplugs in your ears. You're mechuyev to hear shofar again if it'll help the other person. That's how far you go. Kol Yisrael HaRevim Zebezel means I'm still mechuyev b'davar until I see that the other person was yotze the mitzvah. Many have the practice, Kol Yisrael HaRevim Zebezel means something more than that. Many have the Hasidim, have a practice before they start performing a mitzvah. They make a statement, Hei Nei Mukhan Mezuman, I'm prepared to fulfill mitzvah X. And then they say they're fulfilling the mitzvah, the Shem Ichud Kod Shabarichu, B'Shem Kol Yisrael. What does that expression mean? B'Shem Kol Yisrael, I'm here for all of the Jewish people. So what it means is, when I fulfill a mitzvah, I want that mitzvah to be considered a mitzvah for everybody else who's not doing the mitzvah. We know that there are 613 mitzvahs, but some of the mitzvahs are only for Kohanim. Some of the mitzvahs are only for the Melech. Some mitzvahs are only for the non-Kohanim. So how can any one person, some mitzvahs are only for farmers. I'm not a farmer. So how can anybody fulfill all the 613 mitzvahs? It's impossible. You can't be a Kohen and a Yisrael and a Melech and a farmer at the same time. So the answer is, all of Klal Yisrael together does all the mitzvahs, and we fulfill all of the mitzvahs. That's called Kol Yisrael HaRevim Zebezeh. When we fulfill any given mitzvah, when you put on your tefillin in the morning, you say, B'Shem Kol Yisrael. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah, having in mind that this should count for all of Klal Yisrael. Many of the Rishonim, the Rambam included, give a famous mashal. A fellow's on a ship, and he has his own cabin, and he has a drill, and he's drilling a hole in the floor of the cabin, and the water's going to come in. So the other people scream at him, Meshuggah, you're going to make a hole, we're all going to drown. He says, mind your own business, this is my cabin. What do you mean this is my cabin? You're going to make a hole, the whole boat to sink. But the same is true if one person is doing an Avera, he has no right to say, mind your own business, it doesn't apply to you. And I have no right to say, I'm going to mind my own business. It's not only his business. If anyone does any Avera, or if anyone does any mitzvah, it affects all of Klal Yisrael. One person does an Avera, it leaves a taint on everybody. One person does a mitzvah, it's a milah for everybody, for all of Klal Yisrael. In different generations, it was important to emphasize different mitzvahs. The Chazal tell us that the bischus are ancestors were Nigal from Mitzrayim and Eschus, they fulfilled three mitzvahs, Shalashinu Lishonam, they spoke Hebrew, such a big mitzvah to speak Hebrew. Most of us don't speak Hebrew all day long. It's a mitzvah. Shaloshina Malbusham, they wore Jewish clothing. We don't wear Jewish clothing. We wear tzitzis, okay. Shaloshina Shmam, they maintain Jewish names, Hebrew names, okay. So these are such big, important mitzvahs that in the course of these mitzvahs they had the Gula from Mitzrayim. So the Meshech Chachma explains that when you live in Chutz La'aretz, the nationalistic mitzvahs are more important. If you live in Eretz Yisrael and you're keeping Torah mitzvahs, it is a mitzvah to speak Hebrew, but it's not that important a mitzvah. There are certain mitzvahs that are more important in certain generations than in other generations. The mitzvah to maintain your national identity by wearing Jewish clothing and keeping Hebrew names, Jewish names, and speaking Hebrew is more important when you live in Chutz La'aretz, when there's pressure from the outside society to join along with them. After the Second World War, there was such a Churban HaTorah, so many yeshivas were destroyed, so many Talmid HaChachamim were killed. So the Rabbanim were working very hard in rebuilding Torah. And they had tremendous success in Eretz Yisrael. If you look in the Svarim market, they put out every week, I think there were three knockout Svarim. The three Gevaldige Svarim put out every single week. They never had, in Europe, they never had such success. Three marvelous Svarim every single, they have a lot of junk also, but unbelievably good Svarim every week. All the yeshivas were so successful in Eretz Yisrael, they put out so much Torah. The Rabbanim felt that it was important to rebuild the Torah. And now we've already, Baruch Hashem, we have rebuilt the Torah to a tremendous extent, and now it's time to work a little bit on Kiruv. The majority of Klal Yisrael are not Shomei Mitzvah. So this mitzvah of Kiruv is more important in our generation than the mitzvah of Chizuk HaTorah. The Torah is doing very well now. You have so many Svarim, there's more than enough people learning. You have to work on the Kiruv now. I've been attending NCSY functions for over 30 years, maybe over 40 years, I'm not sure. We used to go to regionals, we used to go to all kinds of conventions with our little children. We have 9 children. We used to go with all the kids. It's very important. I remember when I was a little boy, I was born in Pennsylvania. The first couple of years I had to go to public school. My father was a rabbi, but the day school was in South Philadelphia. My father didn't have a car. And he couldn't send me by taxi every day, couldn't afford it. And he couldn't let me go by trolley. Those days there used to be a trolley in Philadelphia. I was too young to go by trolley, so I had to go to public school. So I needed some chizuk. I didn't have Jewish friends, I hardly had any Jewish friends in the neighborhood. So I used to walk around 45 minutes every Shabbos to go to the Shema Hadati club. That was the club that kept me observant. And then Shema Hadati turned into Bnei Akiva. I was too young to understand whatever politics there was, I don't know. So still don't know. So I belonged to Bnei Akiva. Then when we moved to New York before my bar mitzvah, I continued going to Bnei Akiva. Young children, even religious children, need a chizuk. The Gemara says they're learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs, you need a lot of chizuk. You need NCSY for the public school children who are not observant, to give them a Jewish identity, to educate them as far as mitzvahs. And you need an NCSY for the religious children also. Some of them are in public school, some in yeshivas, but they need also chizuk. Everybody needs chizuk. It's a tremendous mitzvah to be mekarev the krevim and to be mekarev the rechaikim, and it's the special mitzvah of our generation. We read, the story is told about Rav Chaim Volozhin, and he once asked the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon used to say, if you look in Chumash, you can find the remez for everybody and everything. So Rav Chaim Volozhin asked him, where is there a remez for the Rebbe? Where is there a remez for Vilna Gaon? So he looked right away, he took a Chumash Dvarim and he looked in Parsha Shoftim. And he found the Pasuk, where is it? Shoftim or Kisetzi, I forgot it already. He said, Vilna Gaon found the Pasuk that says, Evin Shlema Ti Yaloch, you have to have honest weights in business. So the word Evin Shlema is a Rosh Yitevis of Eliyahu Ben Shlomo. That was his name, Eliyahu Ben Shlomo, his father's name is Shlomo. That's famous. So there's a Sefer Evin Shlema that has all the different hashkofas of the Vilna Gaon topically arranged. So the rest of the story goes, Rav Chaim Volozhin asked the Vilna Gaon, why did he take a Chumash Dvarim? So he said, because there are 10 parshias, there are 10 sedris in the Chumash Dvarim. Either 11 sedris. So he said, no, we all know that Nitzav Mayelech is one sedra. I don't know what that means. He said, there are 10 sedris. Each one of the 10 sedras will contain a remez for that century of the last millennium. The Gemara has a tradition, some of the Tanaim had a tradition, that the world will last for 6,000 years. You look in the first pasuk in Bereshis Bar Lakim, there are six Alephs. And the Rekeach has a lot of Kabbalah. The Rekeach says the letter Aleph is Elef, 1,000. So the remez is Bereshis Bar Lakim, the world is going to last for 6,000 years. What's going to happen after the year 6,000? Very unclear in the Gemara, what's going to happen. The Ramchal has a whole essay. He says the world is going to continue, but it's going to be a different kind of a world, whatever. So the Vilna Gaon claimed, I don't know where he got this from, probably a source in Kabbalah writing somewhere, that each one of the 10 sedras in Chumash Dvarim corresponds to the 10 centuries in the 6th millennium. So you have Dvarim Vaschan and Eker V'yei Shoftim Kiseitze. So Kiseitze is the 6th of the sedras. So the year 1240, we usually assume the year 1240 corresponds to the year 5000. So the year 5000, beginning of the 6th millennium, between 5000 and 6000. So if you want to find a remez for something that's happened between the year 1240 and 1340, you look in Parshas Devarim. If you want to find a remez for something that happened between the year 1340 and 1440, you look in Parshas Vaschanan. So the Vilna Gaon was talking at this time with Rav Chaim Volozhiner. It was after the year 1740. He died at the end of 1700s. So that's why he told Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that's why he looked in Chumash Devarim, in Parshas Kiseitze. That's the 6th Sedra, and that corresponds to the 6th century of this 6th millennium. And then Rav Chaim Volozhiner asked him, where is there a remez for me? So he told him a remez. Rav Chaim Volozhiner didn't want to tell it to the public because it was too flattering to him. He thought it would be arrogant. So he said he doesn't want to say over what the Vilna Gaon said. So one of the Rabbanim, who died around the year 1941 or so, quotes this in his Sefer, that the Vilna Gaon said the remez for things that happened in the 6th century will be found in Parshas Kiseitze. And then between the year 1840 and 1940, towards the end, the late 1930s was the beginning of the Shoah. So this Rav wrote and said he didn't live so long to see that the Holocaust was worse after 1940 than before. So he wrote in his Sefer that you have a remez for the Holocaust in Parshas Kisava, where you have this miserable, miserable Teichecha that's much worse than the Teichecha in Chumash Vayikra, the Teichecha in Bechukaisai. This Shabbos, the Gemara says, this is a special Takana. Takana Ezra, in addition to the fact that we're going to read Parshas HaShavua, it's a special Takana Ezra to read the Teichecha in Bechukaisai, the second Shabbos before Shavuos, and to read the Teichecha in Kisavai, the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Tich l'shana v'kiloseo, toch l'shana v'choseo. So the Teichecha in Kisavai this week is much stronger, much worse than the Teichecha in Bechukaisai. So this Rav, who wrote this Sefer around 1940, 1941, he writes, you want to find a remez for the Holocaust, so that's in Parshas Kisavai. Then others added on that what's in the next Sedra, in the Tzavim Vayelach, you have about Hakamas HaMedina. What happened after 1940? Have about Hakamas HaMedina. The Tshuva movement, the Jewish people will do Tshuva. V'shavta Hashem Elokecha, v'shav Hashem Elokecha, shavuzcha, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam make a kibbutz golias, and the Jews will come back to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll be writing Sifrei Torah. The mitzvah Ksiva Sifrei Torah that we heard years ago, I never heard about writing Sifrei Torah. It became very popular now. So that's the remez. We live in a generation where the mitzvah is, the special mitzvah of our generation is the mitzvah of Kirov, to give chizuk to religious people and to try to get more people to be observant. Our tradition has it, Ein Yisrael Negala Mele B'tshuva, the Gula will only take place if we do Tshuva, and this is the time to do the Tshuva, to hasten the Gula. I would encourage everyone, it's really one of the biggest mitzvahs to get involved in NCSY. You can't go every week. You're going to go every week, you'll be giving up your own life. But every so often, everyone should go. Once in a while, go to a Shabbaton and help out, or help out in your community. Get involved in NCSY. It's a tremendous mitzvah. Thank you very much.